Mick and MJ in the morning, brought to you by Sportsbet. Nobody does it easier than Sportsbet.
I thought we'd start by shining a spotlight on the extracurricular activity of one Mark Geyer, who was seen on Friday night at Penrith Way hosting or judging on Stars of Penrith.
Yes.
A dance competition. How did it all go, mate?
It went great. They raised $140,000 for the Cancer Council. So it was
What was the format?
So the format was very much like Dancing with the Stars. There's 10 couples. All the couples had a personal dance instructor. And so they're all from all walks of life. Could have been somebody who owns Outback Steakhouse or an employer of Panthers. Like, it was all normal people who trained for 3 months and then they got
Did they have
dance.
To qualify or were they handpicked?
Handpicked. Well, you volunteered your services to jump in and have a dance. This is the first one that's been at Penrith. They've had some at Northern Beaches and in the city, but first one at Penrith. And they contacted me last year to see if I would dance. And I said, look, I haven't got enough time to dance, but I can do something else.
Denied the public of one of the great spectacles. What would you have danced to? What would you have? Eurasia?
I would definitely... Patrick Hernandez or Eurasia, a bit of Born to Be Alive, I would say, with a pair of suspenders over a pair of pants. I don't know. But look, you know what happened, but Mickey?
Yeah.
I got stitched up. Because I got wind of a couple of things. I got wind of a couple of things that were going on. I got wind of one of my mates said, I've been contacted by someone from the Cancer Council asking me what size shoe you are. I said, what for? That's weird. So I didn't think much more of it. I said, anyway, I told them I was 14. I'm a 13. So, no, sorry, I told them I was 12. I'm a 13. So it'd be too tight for me. So I didn't really think much more about it. Then about an hour into the show, I'm standing there about to sit down in the judge's chair, and I looked up and I saw six members of our staff here walk into the auditorium. And my stomach just dropped. I crapped.
Really?
I went, what are they doing here? You know, Kat and Tony and Owen and Josh and Bella and Bron. They were all there, so...
They're just supporting you.
Yeah.
Well...
You're welcome.
Yeah, not really. They come in hot, by the way, too. They were loaded.
We weren't loaded. We'd had a seltzer or two, but...
Why were you there, Kat? Why were you there?
Yes.
We'd gotten wind that MG might be putting on a pair of shoes and tapping his way on the stage, and so we couldn't miss it.
Tapping his way out of Penrith.
Yes.
Who was like, what's that musical where the kid taps his way out of Coal Town?
Oh, not Billy Elliot.
Yeah, Billy Elliot.
Yeah, yeah.
You are Penrith's Billy Elliot.
Mark Elliot.
Well, Mark Elliot. I'd go and see that musical.
One of the judges was in Tap Dogs back in the 90s, and he was my fellow judge. So we judged five or six of the contestants, and then there was an intermission. The MC said, one of our judges is going to do us a favour and come up and dance. And when they said Nathan's name, I went, oh, thank God. And then Nathan gets bought out a pair of size 14 tap shoes, and he calls me up on stage. And I had to learn a tap dance in about 10 seconds.
You were wonderful.
What did you...
We're going to go for the big finish, though, Mark. You ready? It's a big finish. We're going to hand up with the hands up in the air all the way up to the gods. Ready? 5, 6, 7, finish.
Wow. Clomping up a storm there.
I was like a big Clydesdale.
Mate. Imagine trying to sneak into the house late and you've still got your tap shoes on. Imagine being a tap dancer who's coming home late drunk. Oh. You are cooked. I hear you. I can hear you. Was it a good night, mate? It was a good night.
Fantastic.
You raised some money. You did a dance. Well done to everyone out Penrith Way. All right, when we come back, sport. Let's do it.
Yes, and if you do want to see MG tap dance, you can go to our Instagram page, Triple M Breakfast, and see him tapping up a storm on our stories. Sport. Wow.
MG Sport Report.
And Formula One is underway in Melbourne. You're watching a Ferrari take the lead of the Grand Prix.
It is smoke out of the back of Verstappen's car.
Fire.
It's gone. The dreams of victory gone.
Hands your feet in.
Hamilton out of the race.
There's the call. This is not going to be popular amongst the Aussies. Norris will sweep through for third.
Piastri playing the team game. Here, oh, big crash. George Russell with a massive accident at the end of the Grand Prix. A Ferrari 1-2. Carlos Sainz wins the Australian Grand Prix.
Good job, Carlos. amazing.
Yeah, Melbourne Grand Prix has been 1-1 again, as we mentioned then, in the play-on. Carlos Sainz and Charles Leclerc finishing at the top, 1-2. As for the Aussies...
1-2 Ferrari, how good's that? It's been a while, I've got to say.
Well, Max Verstappen's impressive 43-race finishing streak came to an explosive end because Max only lasted a few laps, Mickey, after his rear brake caught on fire. You were there on Friday. Yep. What was the atmosphere like?
Oh, the atmosphere's great. Always is. Of course, they're just getting the cars out and they're just practicing on the Friday, but you get a sense of what they're up to, what they're testing, and it looked pretty competitive. Verstappen out and Lewis Hamilton, big names out early. And McLaren, how's this? First and second. Now, there's a couple of things here that are interesting about Formula One that really don't correspond to many other sports. One, a race can finish under the safety car.
Yep.
So you can have a race finished that's not even a race. And secondly, you can kind of rig the ending.
Yeah,
exactly. So it's one of the only sports where team orders can come into play. So Piastri was told to make way for his teammate, Lando Norris, and to do the right thing, had to pull the car over and let his teammate pass. I don't think you can name me another sport where someone would willingly do that or have to do that, or whether a team can manage the outcome as obviously as that. So it's one of the peculiarities about Formula One, but it was a great day, a great weekend. I was out there Friday. I loved the supercars. V8 and Dave Reynolds had a great weekend. Allowed me into the pit. I did some last minute tampering with his with his car.
Keep away from my car, mate.
but it's always great to get out there. It's sensory overload. It's the sights, the sounds, the smells, just getting there amongst it. There's as many women there now as there are men. It was generally a festive crowd. It's like something you do once a year. You don't go every week, but, it's fun to do. Now, you've got some big Penrith news, mate.
Yeah, it's been revealed overnight that the first NRL team on the plane to Las Vegas in 2025 is the Penrith Panthers. So
there we go.
Yeah.
Well. Announced that? Where and when?
The NRL Commission, they met on Wednesday to discuss the submissions for Las Vegas, and they'll meet again this Wednesday. Melbourne are in the mix as well as the Dolphins, the Raiders, and the Cowboys. So every team, after seeing the success of the opening foray into Vegas, wants a piece of the pie, Mickey. You can understand that.
It's going to be a mad scramble to get to Vegas next year to boot it home. Off the back of the success of the first run. All right, well played all.
Students are finding new ways to cheat. Hundreds were found breaking the HSC rules, and while they might be the exception, it's left hard-working students feeling frustrated.
Natasha Belling, bring us up to speed. What do we need to know?
Yeah, this is new data showing that more than 700 students were caught cheating in their HSC exams and assessments last year, busted for things like plagiarising, using mobile phones and unauthorised notes during their final test. There's been an increase in cheating of almost 30% since 2019.
Are they attributing this to anything in particular?
Yeah, the majority of offences weren't in the classroom test. They were take-home assignments where, guess what, here's a bombshell, ChatGPT and AI. Like, it's quite extraordinary what
a take-home assignment. You're asking for trouble. Here you go, kids. Take this home and fill it in and bring it back. What do you expect them to do?
I know. Exactly. And a lot of the schools have apparently got technology that can pick up AI or ChatGPT, but the kids have worked out how to override that.
Wow.
Oh, cheating. And a lot of the kids who are cheating have already been fast-tracked into roles at Pricewaterhouse, I believe.
Allegedly.
That's where they're headed. Their future. Yes. Future is bright. People just write off cheating as what it is, cheating, but it takes a lot of creativity.
It actually does.
No, they're some of our finest and brightest.
Examples?
If you can. Well, can I say this? It was a lot harder in our day than it is today. In the old day, you had to write couple of Shakespearean sonnets on your inner thigh. to pass an exam. Mm. There are harder ways. These days, you've got a mobile phone or you're doing it from home.
Yes.
Mm. I mean, you're almost encouraged to cheat.
Yes, you are.
This is going to be a good question. In our day, it was a lot harder. 133353, how did you have to cheat? What were you forced to do to get it? MG, I don't think you ever would have cheated. Seriously,
I actually didn't. No, I wasn't that bad of a student. I used to always make sure I sat next to the smart kids. But
so you copied?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I did cheat. Everyone, who didn't cheat?
That's the big. That's the quickest recantation I've ever heard. I never cheated. Well, I did. You got me. You got me under cross-examination.
Yes. My hands are in the air. You got me.
Yes, you write stuff on the back of a ruler. Slip something in a pencil case. Yeah. There were so many hard ways to do it. I won't even ask you, Tosh. Kat, did you ever cheat?
I didn't, but a girl got caught cheating. She was going to the bathroom a lot in one of the major exams, yep. And she'd put something in the toilet cistern or whatever you call it.
Cistern.
Was reading off that and then coming back and then going to the toilet an hour later.
That's like the plot from The Godfather. When Sonny, they go and put the gun in the bathroom beforehand, then they have the sit-down meeting, and then he wanders in, grabs the gun, comes out, bang!
Bang.
Yep.
That's what I would have done instead of notes. Would have.
Did you cheat, Mick?
Hidden the gun.
Mickey wouldn't have cheated.
No, but I got caught out, actually. Oh, yeah, I did. So
same as MG.
My first year uni exams, I had to do classical studies. It was one of my arts subjects. It was classical studies, but I decided to go to Adelaide for the Grand Prix. And so when I came back, I was like about 3 hours late for the exam, which was underway at the exhibition building. So my mate, and we were still pretty... loaded. My mate dropped me off out the front and I've run in and I've sat down at my table, which is for the exam that's already in progress. I look around and I go, oh, God, it's an open book test. So everyone has about six books on their table. So I made every single reference up in my exam. As Dr. P.J. Rhodes said in his study of Grecian urns, blah, 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 blah. I made everything up and I got second class honours.
No, you didn't.
Are you kidding?
Yes, I did. Thank you.
Wow.
So in a way, that's not actually cheating, is it? That's
no, it's not.
That's
not really.
Being creative.
Creative, yeah, that's right.
133353, how'd you cheat? Did you get away with it? Give us a call. Prizes to be won. Everyone here on the panel has cheated.
I haven't.
No.
Okay. Apart from Natasha Belling. But it gets worse than that, doesn't it? Would you like to tell everyone what you did? Narc.
This beautiful friend of mine, I walked into the room and I saw her writing answers on her arm under a school uniform. So I didn't. Yeah. I just sat down and had a good chat with her about what
choices.
You
dobbed her in.
I did not. I would never have done that. I did not.
That's the word floating around town.
No, it isn't. I sat there and had a long chat with her, and she said, I promise if you leave the room, I will not cheat. Stop chatting.
You are. What
kind of friend is that? Let's take some calls. Philip's on the line. Philip, had a crack at cheating, did you?
Yeah, this one was me. So I also printed the label out on the water bottle and wrote behind it all the test answers and cheated it.
So you've got a water bottle, you've got a label, and you've on the back of it, you've written out the answers and you could see it through the water bottle. Ooh, that's not bad. Yep. That's
and I made it pretty legit by printing out the label with, like, you know, part of the essay questions and,
Wow. Do you know, if you put all that energy into actually studying, you could have been anything, Philip. It's like all those guys you see at the racetrack, and they're doing all these computations, and if we take a box trifecta and we take it into this, and you go, mate, you're doing these calculations in your head on the spot. You could been some kind of Einstein-y type. Instead, you're just a bum. You know what I mean? Even drug dealers can do sums pretty quickly on the spot. No, 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 out of convert an ounce into a gram, into a whatever it is. Some of our brightest.
Oh, yeah.
Have just fallen through the cracks. Wayne.
Sure.
Wayne, did you cheat?
Yes, I was at university in the late 80s, early 90s, and I was studying primary school teaching, and I had to get 94 on a music exam to pass, and I kept getting 86, 87, because I kept failing time signature. So this was in the days before they had a student ID card. It was just a number. So I got a mate of mine to go in with my student number and do the exam for me, and I told him to get 94 because he was a freak at music.
Oh, I got my mate, David Helfgott, to go in and... Hey, Wayne, what a time to live. Mm. No photo ID. Oh. I will never, ever imagine a world where life was so free. What's that? You want my driver's license? Sure. Here it is, a piece of paper with no image on it.
That's right.
Yes, unreal.
Folded in your
wallet. What's that ID to get into this nightclub? Here's a piece of paper with no image on it.
It's true.
And your station isn't even hooked up to the next one.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, what a time.
Yes.
A simpler time, a greater time. Gavin, cheating, what'd you do?
So we had a buddy system. There was four of us, and it was a physiology exam, 100 questions, multiple choice. And what we figured out was the left foot would be the tens column, the right foot would be the ones column, and then fingers on the desk. Thumb was A, finger was B,
wow.
C and D. And then we just checked all our answers. We sat in a diamond shape in the middle of the class, so away from the teacher's view and not really together, but where we could see each other. And we all came out with 90-plus results.
Oh,
we got a few wrong to make sure that we didn't get... Yeah,
Gavin, this is like Ocean's 11.
It is.
The level of detail like and coordination. Give him a prize. Reward that, please.
$250 cash from work scene. Well done.
Oh, fantastic. That was a great system. Worked like a charm.
Good on you.
MG coming in hot today from his judging and impro dance session. At, what was it? Stars of Penrith. Where some of the best couples danced up a storm. In Penrith, and you had to get the tap shoes out yourself. Is that right?
Yes, I did.
And tapping, you're like a tap
first
dog.
There. Yeah, first
like
there.
One of the tap dogs.
I am.
You are the new dog. Dean Perry.
Oh. The best part was, is he lied to them and told them the wrong size shoe, so he didn't have to do it. So he was wearing ill-fitting tap shoes while he did it.
Oh, they looked like clown shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were.
All right, here we go. There's just, in honour of your new dancing style, they've already announced a new Dirty Dancing 2 modern version. Have a listen.
Sorry about the disruption, folks, but I always do the last dance of the season. So I'm going to do my kind of dancing with a great partner who's not only a terrific dancer, but somebody who's taught me about the kind of person I want to be.
Look, I haven't got enough time to dance. Sorry, Pat.
All right. Hey, no one puts MG in the corner.
No, they don't.
Big breaking news from Buckingham Palace over the weekend that Kate Middleton is suffering from cancer, which is... terrible news for her and her family. All the best to her. And, boy, it did put a dampener, though, on some of the more exotic conspiracy theories that had been peddled around town by many. It kind of puts an end to that. You know what I was thinking about this while we've got you all here?
Mm-hmm.
I thought, oh, this might be a moment of reflection for some of the press who have covered this in minute detail and sold a lot of papers off the back of conspiracy theories regarding what may or may not be going on behind the scenes. And I thought they might just be able to, you know, take a moment, think about their responsibility and, you know, moment of reflection. No, the first thing they've done is gone, oh, why isn't Will in the picture? Bang. They've just hit the button and announced another whole raft of conspiracy theories. Didn't take a breath.
No.
So there you go. No lessons learnt from the press there. Do you know what? I think, and this to be true, she's the new meal ticket for tabloid journalism, for the women's mags. Did you know, no one, Princess Diana can still sell Women's Day, Women's Weekly, New Idea. Mm-hmm. How long ago was she killed? 25 years ago, she can still boost your circulation. And they know when they, I don't mean to put this crudely, but killed their own meal ticket in a Parisian tunnel. They should have learned a lesson. But here we go again, all this time later, and we're still milking the royals for all they get. What's your problem? I'm getting raised eyebrows from Natasha Belling. You want to say something?
I think it just wasn't the media. There's a very famous comedian in the US that went on US television going out there with the theories about what had happened.
But that's media. That's what I'm talking about. That's still media. Well, TV, radio, news.
So I think what's interesting is that...
He's on media.
Sure.
What I'm saying is, I'm not saying press, don't get too defensive here. I'm just saying that anyone has been out there on all media. I don't know how else to describe it.
Platforms,
if he's
yeah.
a comedian's on television, that's media, right? Right.
What
well,
my
I thought that was inclusive.
What my concern is that I guarantee you, you guys weren't on board until the fake photo came out with Mother's Day. I just don't think whoever is managing the scenario with Kensington Palace did such a good thing by putting out that fake photo.
I think I've pretty much said all along the line that, you know, this is all bullshit.
Yeah.
Yep, you did.
Anyway, it's not. I'm just saying it's interesting to note that they have just ploughed on with it. Go and have a look at your news feeds right now, and the top five stories will be Kate Middleton and why wasn't Wills there and what was going on.
Sure.
And anyway, onwards we go. Hey,
what the f*** is going on?
God, you are dumb.
What the f*** is wrong with you?
Making MJ's what the f***.
WTF?
A Brazilian couple have posted images of themselves at their local gym working out naked. What the f***?
Why?
MJ active.
Wow. Yeah. No, they're saying they think it's a great thing to do. One video shows the gym bunnies doing every workout from bicep curls to treadmill running while naked. Don't know how I feel about
that.
There are certain
dangerous
things that you... Well, I would have thought so, yes. And not that hygienic.
No.
I mean, I do it all the time, but usually in my hotel gyms.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. Morning, all. How are we going? Jeez, that is terrible. Isn't it? I'd stay away from the rowing machine if I was working out at that gym.
Oh,
and I wouldn't go there on the day they're doing their deadlifts. You own it, Jim MG. This is terrible, right?
This is, well, there's something, it's food for thought, I tell you now. I wouldn't imagine ever entertaining the thought of putting it in my gym, but...
Well, it's. I've said this before, it's bad enough finding sweat on a bench, let alone pubes.
Oh,
stop it. You've crossed a line. All right, MG, what have you got? Yes.
I was watching the movie on the weekend, Stand By Me, with River Phoenix in it. Great little movie.
Why were you watching that?
Oh, I was just on TV. It was on Foxtel. Just decided I had a couple of hours to spare, so I kicked back and watched it. And it had a couple of scenes with leeches, and I wanted to know what a leech was, so I investigated Mickey. Do you know that a leech...
What?
A leech has 10 stomachs, 32 brains, 9 pairs of testicles, and several hundred teeth.
What the f***?
There you go. Yeah, leeches. They're a,
can
they're
we get
famous.
That checked with the fact checkers?
Well, it's a lot of testicles for one leech.
Oh, my gosh.
Imagine trying to kick a leech in the balls.
Thumbs up, baby.
It'd take you forever. Boom, 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 boom,
boom. Yeah, so next time you're getting sucked by a leech, just know that you've got some nuts on you as well.
What the f***?
I can't. Wow. It's too much.
Okay. All right, Kat, what have you got?
A gym influencer has been slammed for taking his meal prep into the nightclub in Ibiza.
What
a wanker.
Now explain what meal prep is, please.
You know when fitness people, they'll prep 12 meals and they're all healthy.
Yes.
It's often tuna and rice or chicken and rice and veggies.
Yeah.
And then they have that for every single meal. This guy has done that and taken it at night in the middle of the nightclub and has eaten his meal prep at whatever time he obviously needs his protein.
Is he single?
All right.
Yeah, he's
single. I was just
was on the dance floor? Was he dancing around his Tupperware container?
Actually looks like he is.
He looks like he is.
You know what? If you're at a nightclub, there's probably no shortage of appetite suppressants that are available to you anywhere you like. I don't think you need to take your dish. Jeez, all right. No, that's it. No, I'm the healthiest man in the nightclub. Now I'm going to take something made by bikies in a bathtub. All right, you get the idea. We'll come back and get you, Tash. 133353. Give us a call now. Prizes to be $1,000. Hey, just before we get to the callers, the Balenciaga. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Designer.
Fashion.
Designers.
Fashion. Top-end fashion label. They've just released a bracelet that looks exactly like a roll of gaffer tape.
What the fuck?
Wow. There's a picture of it, and it's like something a roadie would carry or that you would use when you are packing boxes. Yeah, that's the one. That tape. When you are taping stuff up or boxes to move house, well, they've put Balenciaga on it and are going to charge you about $5,000.
What?
Wow. What
the or so for wearing it. It's part of their recent fall winter 2024 range. You know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to get my girlfriend a roll of tape.
Of course.
Wrap it up in Balenciaga wrapping paper.
So there you go.
Yeah, darling.
Here you go. Don't say I don't think anything for you. Mm-hmm. How good is that? Yeah. Hey, they'll be selling hats that are just watermelons that have been hollowed out soon. Here's our Balenciaga new hatware. Oh. They are. It just shows you how foppish and foolish the fashion world is. Tash, you've got one?
A 75-year-old grandmother has become an international Fortnite gaming sensation.
What
the f***?
She was playing
75.
Yeah, she was playing Fortnite with her grandson and said, you know, I like this. I'm going to start streaming it. Her grandson said, don't be silly, Nan, don't do it. And now she's become an internet sensation playing Fortnite and streaming it.
Good on her. God love her.
Well, where can people see her do that?
On the Fortnite platform and also on YouTube.
Oh, all right. That'll be good for somebody out there, I'm sure. Hey, Mel's on the line. Mel, what have you got?
Stripper penguins, guys.
Yes.
What do you mean by that?
Okay, so when male penguins want to find a female mate, they bring them a pretty rock. And usually if the female accepts the rock, they mate. Well, there are female penguins that will do the female mating dance, will accept the rock, but won't actually go ahead and mate with that penguin.
What the f***?
Oh, floozies.
We all know those girls. Am I right, fellas?
Stop.
Do the penguins put money in their beak or something? How do they get
How do they strip?
Do they come out to pour a little sugar on me? Cherry pie? Maybe a bit of cherry pie out there in the Antarctic?
I've never been, so I'm not sure.
You've never been?
I've never physically seen it myself. I heard about it.
Are we talking about penguins now, or are we talking about strippers? What are we talking about? All right. What am I getting? Has that been fact checked?
Yeah,
all right, hold the line, Mel. Adam's on the line. Adam, what have you got?
Yeah, g'day. The Olympic torch was reinvented by the Nazis as a propaganda stunt to show the world the people of Germany on the streets Sieg hailing the Führer.
This is correct. I know this to be true. One of the many things the good things the Nazis have done. One of the things they're not recognised for, but those Olympics, yes, the torch relay and indeed the lighting of the cauldron was all down to them, and it was. So you could see what a brilliant and superb place Germany was. $200 to you, Adam.
Oh, well,
thank you.
There you go.
MG Sport Report.
Second drop play. There may be an obstruction to check.
Looking at a lead run here of Jake Trbojevic.
Oh, no.
He's currently in front of the ball. He stops in the defensive line of Parramatta.
But so is Luca Moretti. Luca Moretti's just standing there. He puts his
Luca
hand
Moretti
on the back.
Luca Moretti has now denied the chance to push forward.
On.
Tom Trbojevic takes that space, pass. Which is an obstruction.
It is the right decision.
We have a decision.
But, that's how they rule it now.
Yeah, lots of controversy yesterday at Combank Stadium when the Eels took on Manly. What a fantastic game this was. Manly got out to a 12-0 lead, but Parramatta ran them down to win 28-24. And that was probably the most controversial moment of the match when Jake Trbojevic got ruled a penalty against him for obstruction. Look, as much as I hate this rule, it was the right decision because, as the commentary said then, the Parramatta fan, Parramatta player, basically... Got bumped by Jake as he was running through. So Jake should have kept running right through and it wouldn't have been a penalty. But he didn't. He stopped in the line, which stopped Moretti from getting another step towards it. Look, it's a passive. When that player is passive and they are standing there and they're trying to get to the other player, sometimes they're just a little bit lazy. And they get, in this instance yesterday, I think he got rewarded for being a bit lazy. But by the letter of the law, the rules are clear that if a decoy runner stops in the defensive line, then it is an obstruction. And unfortunately for the Parramatta Manly fans yesterday, there was a right decision by the referees in the bunker.
How do you think the match day officials are going this year? How are they travelling?
Well, I know you're not real happy with the AFL version of them, but I'm really happy with the NRL ones. I think the NRL ones have been fantastic from the opening whistle. I think every chance we get as a game to bag the officialdom, I've never seen a rugby league player play a perfect game. So you're never going to see an official or a bunker come up with a perfect game as well. It's all man-made, man-led. So I think they've been really good, Mickey. I think it started in Las Vegas and they've continued the trend all through the first three rounds in the NRL.
Rare praise there for match day officials. Fair enough. When it's warranted, it's well-deserved. All right, we're done. And we've been joined live in the studio by a friend of the show. It's the Chasers, Dom Knight. How goes, Dom, on this Monday morning?
Oh, good morning. I must say, I've got goosebumps being in the studio with a star. And I knew you were big. I grew up watching MG on the TV, Origin and the whole thing. Grew up watching The Late Show. The Chaser wouldn't exist without The Late Show. But I didn't know, Mick. Did not know you were in the greatest Australian TV series of all time, by which, of course, I mean Bluey.
Oh yeah.
Oh, Bluey.
There I am.
I'm watching
the TV. I wasn't talking about the front bar. I probably should have thrown to the front bar. But no, there I am watching Bluey on the sofa. I've got two girls. I've got a Bluey and a Bingo at home.
Yes.
Favourite show. And suddenly, there I am watching Tradies. And I think to myself, who have they cast as Tradies? Hang on a sec. I know this voice. That is M. Malloy in the house. And I must say, your range, Mick, it's phenomenal. It's acting school, that episode. I've heard you say on this show a few weeks ago, you said you would rather move out of your house than DIY, and yet you inhabited that tradie character, mate. That was incredible. It's called range.
Well, it's called range, and my character's name was Big Belt, which I point out is because he's wearing a workman's belt, not because it's a particularly large girth. Also, Spark. Well, Sparky was his name, but the kids called him Big Belt.
Yeah, were you fat shamed by dogs?
Before, I was fat shamed because on the only animated character in that series to be animated with ass crack. There's a scene where you're from behind, and I obviously my animated character put on 20 pounds for the role.
Yeah, the camera does that. That's what I heard. Yeah. It's pretty amazing that dogs who walk around naked. Otherwise, they figured out a way to put ass crack on your character. What a tribute to your work.
But thank you.
I've got to say, if you don't mind, as much as I love the performance, I've got a few beats, a few little issues, just in terms of the messages you're sending to kids, Mick. And
far away.
The first one, I've got some clips here. Listen to what Bluey and Bingo, listen to what they're teaching the kids to do during this episode.
Keep an eye on them for me, all right? Make sure they're working hard.
Okay. Bingo.
Yes.
We go to spy on the tradies.
Spy on the grown-ups. This has influenced my children. I'm living with a junior Stasi at the house. They're writing down everything I say, particularly in Queensland, which is a police state at the best of times. This is not a good message, Mick. What are you doing?
No, I don't know. Yes, dobbing your neighbour. Is it be alert but not alarmed? Is that what John Howard says?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, fortunately, their only notes are sort of in pictograms and dodgy drawings. But my kids are now little spies, so I could not have an affair, I tell you what, in my house. They would catch me out in 1 second. It's probably
you're
a good
cooked.
Thing. Second point. Now, this is a bit sus, mate. I got to be honest. The scene where the ice cream truck comes to Bluey's house and they hear the music, it's a bit dodgy. Let's have a listen.
Ice cream?
Ice cream?
Ice cream! Ice cream! Can we have one?
No.
Ah!
I wonder if anyone wants this spare ice cream.
So the message there is that...
What is your suggestion there?
If a strange man says that they know your mum, take an ice cream from them. Is that the message we're sending out there, mate? And I think we know how the belt got that big. The guy's wolfing down ice cream on the job.
That's fantastic.
All right, you make a good point. That is maybe one to be alert.
The show, to be fair, does clarify that your character, Sparky, does know Chili quite well. You're on first name terms.
Yes.
But it certainly made me think, you know, girls, don't just take... Uncle Mick, if Uncle Mick offers you an ice cream, it's okay, but if you don't know him, don't go ahead.
That's right.
But the final thing, even worse than this, and this is going to warp them for life, honestly, probably the biggest plot in the whole story is how long will the tradies take to do the job?
Yep.
You're sure it will only take 3 days?
Yeah, 3 or 4.
Is it 3 or is it 4?
Yeah, how long are you going to take? That's the question. How long are they going to blow it out for? One of the guys spends the whole day on his phone, which I believe is accurate for some trades. But listen to how it pays off in the end of the episode.
Thank you for our fish pond. We love it.
You're welcome.
And you did it in 3 days.
My girls are going to think that every trader in Australia gets the job done on time.
We've set the bar too high for tradies. Do you know the episode of Bluey, my episode?
Yeah, tradies.
In a poll was the 11th most popular.
It's pretty good going. It's a high standard.
Well, it's up the pointy end.
I think Gold Logie, not far away for the man who played Sparky. I think it's got to happen.
It was a controversial ending too, where my character got put down. But apart from that, there was an alternative ending at one stage. Yeah. But it never got up.
DVD commentary on that one, absolutely.
Here we go. What else is happening in the world?
As I like to come in here and update you on the news, it's just all Kate Middleton. And I'm amazed how seamlessly, you know, the UK tabloid in particular, I've got the Daily Mail here, they've just switched from... you know, peddling the conspiracy theories, which I have to confess I was quite enjoying before it all became very real and quite sad.
It was a load of fun.
It was speculation where we didn't know what was going on. You know, we had a bit of fun with it, admittedly. Now we know what's going on. They're still going. They're still publishing the same conspiracy theories, but now they're going, oh, and this is, I'm quoting, shameless trolls are spreading bizarre and offensive social media posts. Let's have a full list of them they've published here. People are going, it's AI. The video is AI. Kate Middleton, she didn't actually do it. Some people have reposted the video as though it was Princess Diana's face and Meghan Markle's face over the top of it. It's very, very strange. And so they're just seamlessly going on and publishing the whole thing. Yeah, just take a moment. It's just possible that the person who's disappeared actually has a serious health condition.
That's right.
They won't believe it. She could die. She could turn up in the tunnel and they'd still go, nah. She's still alive. She's still alive. She's on the ranch with Princess Diana, living out her days happily.
Yeah. Here's the other trick that the tabloids do now. Obviously, they used to love putting stars on down the beach in bikinis where they were unflattering photos, or they had a bit of, hail damage out the back or whatever it was. And they would end up... So, I can't think of the official term, but they print the same photo and go, wow, looking fantastic on the beach, because they know they can't shame. So they make it a positive, like we're doing something, look at this, she's never looked better.
How brave are you getting it all out there in the skinny bikini we're taking a photo of? Nuts. Yeah.
And by the way, you mentioned AI. How this will happen? So in the lead up to the US elections and possibly in the last 48 hours when it's all too late, something big is going to drop that will later be proved to be AI, and it'll be a game-changing influence on the election. There's nothing sure.
They've already tried it.
Watch this space.
Yeah, in the last, I think on the primary day, they had a fake Joe Biden ringing up and saying, don't vote today, don't go out there, don't vote today.
Wow.
There it is. So, oh, it's just a little precursor of what's to come.
On the bright side, though, when you guys are making your next round of ads, I mean, anyone could endorse the program. Princess Kate could come out and tell everyone, you know, I listen to 104.9 Sydney Triple M, Mick and MG in the morning.
Yes.
Here's an important announcement from Kate
for
Middleton.
For the palace.
I can't tell you how much I enjoy Mick and MG in the morning. Oh, let's get on to that. We'll knock that up before the show is out.
Yep,
have you got something to take us out with today?
On Bluey. Look, just a tip for life. I think this is important. If you find a severed leg walking around, don't pick it up. Don't sniff it.
Okay.
This is what happened in Wasco, California. A guy picked up, the cameras were rolling, picked up a leg near a railroad track, and charged with a misdemeanor charge of removing body parts from an area that's not a cemetery. So if you find a random leg around the place, just leave it is the message.
That's going to look good on your CV, isn't it? What was he charged with?
Removing a body part not from a cemetery. It's not.
Wow.
In a cemetery, apparently it's fine. That's what I'm getting from the law here. Dig away. It's all good. But no, look, there was a train incident. It was very, very ugly. So, yeah, if you see the limbs, just leave it there for posterity.
I love it. That was a public service announcement from Chaser Tom Knight. Now, what are you up to? What's the Chaser up to? Podcast out?
There's another one out today. I think we might steer clear of royal material for a little while.
Yes.
Just the same way if you find a severed leg. Just if you find a royal story and you're not sure what's going on, maybe steer clear for a bit.
Thanks, Dom.
See ya.
Mick and MG in the morning. Brought to you by Sportsbet. Nobody does it easier than Sportsbet. Mick and MG in the morning. Weekdays from 6 on Sydney's Triple M.